Welcome to the Breaking Chains podcast, where we are breaking free from the chains of our past and rising to lead extraordinary lives. I believe it's time we ditch the rules of this world that are keeping us enslaved in the grind, playing from behind, and instead opt in to a conscious and strategic upgrade, one that is founded in timeless principles that can only be accessed through the power of the heart. So if you've been craving deeper, more meaningful relationships, vibrant bodies full of life force and true prosperity in all arenas, this podcast is for you. My name is Christine Jewell. I'm a high performance coach and faith-based mentor, and together we will awaken the king or queen you are destined to be so you can experience the fullness of life that's waiting for you. Let's dive in. All right. Welcome back to the show, my friends, my dear warriors at heart. It is interview season on the Breaking Chains podcast, and I have some amazing interviews lined up today. I'm so excited. I have a very interesting conversation happening right now. Karen McMahon. Am I saying that right, Karen?
It's McMahon.
McMahon. Karen McMahon, I needed to ask you that before. I'm like always about the thing. But Karen is here with me. You guys, Karen is a high conflict divorce strategist. Just that is awesome. She's a certified divorce coach and founder of Journey Beyond Divorce. She also has a podcast called Journey Beyond Divorce. And she began divorce coaching in 2010 after recognizing that the pain of her divorce led her on a transformational journey into a powerful, new, and unexpected life. Karen leads a national team of divorce coaches in supporting men and women around the world to become calm, clear, and confident as they navigate these high conflict divorces. As I mentioned, she's the host of the acclaimed Journey Beyond Divorce podcast and the co-author of Stepping Out of Chaos, Turning Pain into Possibility. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Christine. Thank you so much for having me.
I love it. I didn't realize that you had coaches that are delivering this program across the nation. That's awesome. Okay, well, we're just going to dive right in. Do you know that you and I got divorced? I think it was the same year. Our high conflict divorces were both the same year. I just realized that as I was reading your bio. Another cool intersection.
That's so funny.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your backstory. What are you like? Why are you here? Why are you doing what you're doing? What is the fire in your heart for? Share a little bit of your backstory with these people.
Yeah, I got married in my early to mid 30s, which was kind of late. I'm in my 60s now, and so I thought I had it all figured out, and I knew what I wanted, but it turned out I only knew what I didn't want. And so I fell in love with Prince Charming. We had a couple of years that had plenty of red flags, but were mostly lovely. And I have two children, and by the time my second one was knocking on her 2-year birthday, everything had gone sideways. There was just a tremendous amount of conflict. There was a lot of nastiness. There was a lot of financial disagreement. We had very different spending approaches to life. And it took me years from that point. We had a physical altercation, which I started. I was so unhinged. And I went into therapy right after that weekend, and was in and out of therapy and marriage counseling for a bunch of years before I finally pulled the trigger, because I came from a divorced family. So, and I was Christian, and I just thought the last thing I want to do is divorce or go against my God. And then the divorce was another 3.5 years. So it was like, so it was just an enormous marathon. And it was, and I will tell anyone who asks, it was hellacious. It was, CPS was involved. The cops came to the door. The kids were devastated. It was just a hot mess. It was also an incredible gift. And I think that's why I've chosen to do what I do, because when I emerged from my own fire of refinement, I looked in the mirror and thought, girlfriend, good job. And I really loved the person I had grown into. And that was the life-changing part for me.
Yeah.
And a couple of years later, I changed careers and ended up in this one.
Well, you know what they say, the person you're best equipped to help is the person you just once were. You know, we hear that all the time. Yep. Man, hearing your story, I feel like I'm also in your skin. You know, the way the divorce went down, it's so interesting. We divorced at the same time, and it sounds like we went through a very similar journey. But I'm really excited to hear more about what you do with people because, you know, a couple things, like sometimes we think, who am I to talk about this? But we know exactly, you know exactly what not to do, right? Sometimes you're like, okay, you can go through it this way or you can go through it this other way. And we know exactly what not to do. And wisdom is earned, you know, is earned sometimes through these yep. moments. So I just want to preface that this to the listeners because you guys know that I have a heart for relationship. I know Karen has a heart for right relationships. There is so much beauty and we are designed to be married and in right relationship for each other. But also what I see, and I know Karen, I want to have you talk about this in a minute, is that sometimes, and I just wanted to preface this, you guys, because in case you're like, what are we talking about divorce on here? Because the amount of people that I have reaching out that say, you know what, I'm not sure if I want to stay in here anymore, or I want out, but I don't know how. And then later through conversations, we find out that there's a lot of beyond red flags. There's maybe abuse or toxicity or, you know, in another podcast interview I did earlier today, you know, somebody said the right partner will amplify who you are, will double everything in your life. The wrong one will have you forgetting who you are and diminish everything in your life. And so while I want to say that we're here to help build relationships up, strengthen marriages and stuff like that, there is a time and place to take a good hard look at what's going on. Is this a healthy environment? Is this the right thing? And, you know, for whatever reason, if it is time to separate, to do so in a way that is loving and kind and doesn't create a bunch of casualties of war in the process because it can get really expensive and messy. So I just wanted to preface this before we jump in. So what are some of the things that you're seeing that people are reaching out? Where do you see people are coming and saying, Karen, help? Where are people at when they come kind of into your stream?
Yeah, you actually said it so beautifully. One of the key things, male or female, on the front end, if they're emerging from a high conflict marriage, and I'll define that, the first thing that's almost universal is a loss of self. That what you just talked about, that diminishing, that belittling, berating, condemning, judging, criticizing, you're so worthless, you're so stupid, you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough. I have clients coming to me, they're maybe years, more often decades. Yes. And so this is like a brainwashing. And then one of my questions in my very first session is always, what do you need? And the response is like this blank look, like needs. Like nobody has asked me, I haven't even looked at my needs in so long. So I would say, when you're in these high conflict situations, you end up so diminished. You end up, as my therapist had said to me the second time I went to see her, and I was in bad shape the first time, she said, Karen, you are a shell of the woman I met 2 years ago. And so I think that really describes the majority of people who come to us.
Yeah. Yes. They've forgotten who they are. Yeah. They don't even recognize themselves anymore.
They've gotten lost. And you know, I just released a free course and it's about reclaiming your mind. Because if you think about it, when this happens, it's almost like you've emptied your mental space of your stuff. I'll get to that in a second. And his or her judgments, perspectives, reactions, beliefs are living between your ears. I mean, you probably deal with this with your high conflict people. You ask a question and they say, well, my husband thinks, well, my wife would tell you. And I'm like, they're not here. Make them leave the room right now. Yes. You answer. And so the first answer is often what is between their ears, which is their spouse's voice.
Oh, come on. You guys heard that? Did y'all hear that? Because I get that all the time. And I'm so glad you brought that up. It's like, you don't actually get a straight answer from them. Well, what do you think? What do you want? They don't know, right? So if you, and this is important because I think, many of us, especially if we grew up in, do you notice that as you do the work with these people, they grew up in households where that was also the case? Like they weren't allowed to have opinions.
98% of the time. Right. Right.
There were pacifiers or pleasers or what?
There's an Irish saying. I didn't know it was Irish, but it's like, we didn't lick it off the grass is the saying. And it's like, we didn't get it from nowhere. We were raised with it. And so, yeah. I mean, you talk to your clients and it's like, my mom had a mental health issue. My dad was a severe codependent. My dad was an alcoholic and abandoning. And I married someone who is a CEO, but equally as emotionally abandoning. And so it's like, exactly. And so the first thing I think I'd like to say to your audience is gentle kindness when you look in the mirror, self-compassion when you begin to do this work, because if you come at it with your own bat beating yourself up, you are not going to make any movement. This is a place where maybe you didn't get it from mom and dad, maybe you didn't get it from your other intimate relationships or your marriage, but come at this with overflowing love for yourself and kindness for yourself.
What do you say to the person who's like, oh yeah, that sounds really great, but how the heck do I do that? Because I haven't ever been able to love. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what it's like to love myself. What do you say to that person? Like,
I say two things because I get that all of the time.
Right?
So what I would say is if you're a parent,
yes.
Think about the way you speak to your child. Would you ever, ever, ever say to your child what you say? Like I used to call myself an effing idiot all of the time. Like anytime I did something wrong. And now it's like, I can't even saying that. I used to say that is just like so assaulting to me. And so if you don't have children and you're like, I don't know what that's like. You have a best girlfriend. You have a best friend. Would you condemn or speak to or judge your BFF the way you do yourself? And start there. Start creating yourself as your own best friend and come at it with that energy. You do know how to do this because you are a loving human being. Mm-hmm. And so it's just turning it inward is uncomfortable because it's unfamiliar. Unfamiliar equals uncomfortable. Unfamiliar when you're in toxic relationships also equals healthy. So unfamiliar and uncomfortable is good. That's a sign that you're heading in the right direction.
Okay. I want to repeat that. That's worth repeating. Unfamiliar and uncomfortable in a toxic relationship is good. That means you're moving in the right direction because you're doing the thing that is unfamiliar, because familiar is toxic. Familiar is chaotic. Familiar is probably drama, trauma, and all the things. Okay. So we may have already defined it, but how would you define what is a high conflict separation or a high conflict marriage?
Yeah.
We already talked about obviously losing your identity. What else? How does somebody know they're there?
So if you're in a high conflict relationship, and we could even say whether it's a spouse, a boss, a sibling, a parent, if you're engaged with someone where they can't, they have like a 365 degree blind spot. They don't take ownership of anything or almost anything. And if they do take ownership, you made them do it. So that's one thing. Another thing is there's a blame. So you're always wrong. So there's always a blame game. And another behavior that you might get a lot of is you come to the table with an issue. Honey, I really want to talk about this thing that like is bothering me. And they'll deflect. That's bothering you. Well, you did this thing that's bothering me and I feel twice as bad. And 2 seconds later, you're on the defensive and your agenda is out the window. Or they have a creative way of remembering things. So they call it revisionist history. So I remember saying to my spouse, I'm like, is it possible we were sitting in the same space? Like there's no way we could remember this so differently.
Right.
And yet we're two intelligent people with completely different perspectives on what happened. And the other thing for those of you who are married, because I find that the delusion of the spouse of is very important to talk about. I so often people come to me and they say either, I think we can reconcile or I want to have an amicable divorce. And so great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Tell me the last time a difficult issue was on the table and you reconciled it. Oh, we've never reconciled anything. Okay. Tell me the last time you had a respectful conversation and communication where you problem solve something, even if you didn't ultimately solve it. Yeah, that never happens. And so if your experience has been in that direction for as many years or decades as you've been with somebody, expecting to then reconcile or even have an amicable divorce, you can be amicable. You must be amicable. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that the divorce will go that way, because if you're assuming that your soon to be ex is going to show up differently, they go to bed as a giraffe, they wake up as a giraffe. They go to bed as a zebra, they wake up as a zebra. They don't change in the middle of the night ever.
I love that. I've never heard that. Unless there's some kind of miraculous divine intervention, which okay. I mean, that is possible, but yeah, I hear you.
And the truth is, and for people who are of the belief and faith that and I am, that God can change anything, it also may be why divorce is a long journey, because there's plenty of times to go, oh, wow, look, I'm seeing something different. Wow, it's continuing. There's some traction here. And I get to pivot and decide maybe I'm not going to go down that path.
Right.
So divorce doesn't happen overnight. In fact, high conflict divorces take a significant amount of time. So there's plenty of time to pivot if that opportunity arises.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good. I wrote down some of those things because I think it's important to have those written down, because sometimes you could think like, I'm crazy. I must be going crazy. And I remember thinking that, I'm sure you did, like, I'm losing my mind. I'm going to go crazy here, or I am, or am I forgetting things? Or you start doubting yourself. You start doubting your own memories. You start doubting what came out of your mind. And so there's like this attack on self that starts to happen too. So loss of self, no ownership. I think that's really important. Like paying attention, does the other person never take any ownership? Like you never hear them say, I'm sorry, I did this. What can I do? You know, here's what I see in myself. Everything becomes your fault. Shifting, right? Gaslighting. That was another one. For those of you who don't know what gaslighting is, that you have feelings and you must be crazy for having those feelings. So it's, you know, and deflection, changing the subject, right? Just, not that's what it is, right? Deflection. You're like, okay, we're just gonna move on to the next thing. We're gonna just shift over. And I love what you brought up about delusion. That's such a good point. Like sometimes we get delusional and thinking, oh yeah, they're gonna be really friendly and good and easy to work with. And it's like, okay. But also I think there's the other side where sometimes we can just expect such a fight that we go in with our boxing gloves on, and like then we create more of that.
One of the coaches on my team said to me once, always assume best intention.
Right.
And I love that. Mm-hmm. And for even your high conflict spouse, always assume best intention. So my spouse had a very challenging relationship with time. The kids would call it daddy time. He could be an hour, 2 hours late, like from the day I met him. And so rather than you did that to screw me up and so that I would miss my thing, it was like, actually, let me just assume that he's doing his best, and his best has always been difficult when it came to time.
Yeah.
And so you create a plan B. So you assume best intention and you say, if I know that in this example, daddy's often late, do I get a babysitter? Do I drop the kids off at a neighbor's? What do I do so that I don't blame him or her for purposely screwing up my schedule? That I always have full agency. So, and this comes to the accepting part, right? If I accept that you always show up as a giraffe, then I can assume you're going to show up as a giraffe. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be surprised when it happens, and I can plan for it. And all of that allows you to be less triggered and more emotionally regulated.
I think that's so important what you just said, because this is, I mean, you must see it. I see it. They're losing it about, well, he did this, she did this. Da, da, da. And I'm like, is this new?
Exactly.
Is this new information? Is this out of character? No, right? But it's like, we're shocked that this person is still being difficult or being the way they are. And so I want to talk about, first of all, I mean, the word boundaries just popped into my mind.
How can it not?
How can it not? So talk to us about what are some tactical, practical things? I mean, you gave us a couple there, right? Like, assume the best, but also take ownership over the situation so that you don't get all entangled and caught up and disappointed. And you have all these expectations and you're disappointed yet again, even though this is like the thousandth time. So by now it's like, okay, I probably have a good idea of how this is going to go. When people are in these situations that are high conflict and they're navigating a season that's maybe really challenging and difficult, I know one of the questions I get a lot is, how do we handle communication during this time? Yeah. So what do you encourage people to do when they're in this spot, or what are some of the things that you see? Because this is something also that I see, is that it becomes really challenging. They're trying to text or call and it's just like, no, it always goes bad, or not always, but often. So what are some of the communication guidelines that you have in place, or is it just kind of like person to person, moment by moment?
Well, actually, so the first thing I want to say is, having worked with high conflict people for over a decade, there's a spectrum of that too. So there's your person who could be a narcissist and lower on the spectrum, and the person who's like really knocking on the ceiling of it, right? So let's say one of the things I notice the most when it comes to communication is, a lot of times the spouse of is communicating to change the behavior of the ex. And it's like, that ship has sailed. Stop. Mm-hmm. Just stop. Mm-hmm. It's never happening. If they want to change themselves, they'll change themselves. If you haven't seen any signs, just let it rest. And so it's often around the kids too. Mm-hmm. You know, Billy wasn't ready for his test and you had him, and you need to, you're talking to the wrong person.
Yeah.
You are not co-parenting with a high conflict ex. You are parallel parenting with them. And so,
I'm high-fiving her if you guys can't see the video.
So what you want to do is say, this happened to me. My kids came home crushed all of the time. They had all these different issues. And it occurred to me really early on that talking to my ex, and I don't mean this in offense to him, but it was like talking to the wall. He wasn't going to hear me. He wasn't going to receive what I had to say. We weren't collaborating. I had plenty of time to know that. Mm-hmm. And so when something happened with the kids, when my son was up until 3 o'clock in the morning playing Xbox and then failed his test, I talked to him, not his dad.
Right.
Okay, Chris, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about the grade you got? Let's sit down and talk about this. And I could do whatever I wanted, daddy's. Yeah, you can. That's not the conversation we're having.
Right.
We're having a conversation about you and how smart you are and what you want to do with life. Or if it turns out to be that, and this was my case a lot, where the kids would be really upset. Daddy called me terrible names. Daddy embarrassed me in front of my friends. Mm-hmm. I don't call daddy.
Right.
Don't call daddy. Don't. Yeah. Don't call mommy. Sit down with your child, and what happened, and how did you feel about it, and how did you handle it, and what were you afraid of, and how could you have handled it better, and how can I support you?
Yes.
We have an opportunity to teach our children how to navigate every high conflict personality they come in touch with by using every, and here's a saying for you, every upset is a setup for personal growth. So every time I'm triggered, every time my kids are triggered, I have an opportunity to complain or to use it as fuel toward growth. And and every one of you listening who are in this situation know you have oodles of opportunities for upset, and therefore you have oodles of opportunity for growth.
Yes, that is so good. And I couldn't agree with you more. I totally agree. I remember going through that even in my own divorce. Like, I started off that way, right? Trying to think that I could co-parent with this person, that we're in the middle of a battle, you know, and he doesn't see things the way I see them. He doesn't want to hear what I have to say. also I wasn't equipped with the very good communication tools. And so it was like beating two dead horses, or like you're, when you said hitting your head against the wall, that's exactly what it was like, you know? And I love that, because I really did do that pivot also with my daughter. And I realized, you know, she's going to have to continue to live with him and deal with him, because he's going to be her dad forever. Yep. And eventually I don't, like, she can't call me every time. And so, and I think this is also very transferable to anywhere where there's conflict inside of an organization or a team or anywhere. It's like, if we're always the fixer and the savior, then we never empower anybody to actually be able to navigate. And I love what you said about this is a perfect setup for training them how to navigate high conflict situations, people, events. And we're really empowering them, right? You get to like give them some of their power and autonomy back. And by the way, this creates a triple ownership as you're talking, because you're taking ownership. You're not feeling like a victim to what your ex is doing or not doing. You're giving your child power to be able to do something that they can control, whether it's, you know, journaling or saying something or speaking out for themselves or, you know, whatever. You're giving them some tools, and you're also honestly releasing your ex over having that power over you. So I think it's brilliant, and it is the way forward. So I love that you said you're not co-parenting, you're parallel parenting. Absolutely. And you're equipping them on how to do conflict navigation going forward in life.
Yeah. If I could share a story, my daughter was my younger. She was 6 or 7 when we finally moved out. And she would call me all the time, you know, crying, either, you know, I'm being ignored, or daddy's angry, or I'm scared, or whatever the case may be. And so we would be on the phone and I would be coaching her. This was before I was a coach, but I would be helping her through. And for me, I lost my voice. I just lost my, I was so, so deeply lost. And so I have a daughter and a son. I wanted to raise a daughter who had the strongest, most powerful voice and confidence behind it, and a son who would just be an ideal partner for someone who had the level of emotional intelligence and respect. And so that was, I felt like if I do that well and I fail at everything else, I've been a complete success. And my daughter now is 25 years old, and she is just a little firecracker. And she speaks her mind. She has no fear about speaking her voice. And I raised them on a 12-step saying, which is say what you mean, but don't say it mean. Oh, so no matter how nasty your dad is, you have no right to be disrespectful back, but you can speak truth and you can speak it firmly, but you always speak it respectfully. And what you said earlier about boundaries, I think that, again, many of us, I don't know if you would agree, like I was raised in a boundary oblivious household. So I didn't know boundaries any more than I knew how to speak Japanese.
Like, right. Same.
Yeah. And every relationship on the face of the earth needs boundaries, healthy relationship. All involve healthy boundaries. And so having the skill of healthy communication, having the skill of healthy boundaries is vitally important. And I would even say if you're listening and you want to mend your relationship, even if there's a part of you that knows you it may not work, start by honing your skills. Start by working on your communication, your respectful communication, your clear and articulate communication. Start by working on your boundaries. If you feel like you're the victim of your spouse, take a look at your behavior. One day I was standing on the steps. We were in a center hall. We were living in a Tudor, and I was being yelled and cussed at and screamed at. Mm-hmm. And it was, I swear it was God. And all of a sudden I looked at the table in the foyer, and there were my car keys and this download. You don't actually have to stand here and take that. The kids are safe. You could grab those keys and leave. And for the first time in like 12 years, I walked past him, grabbed the keys, and walked away from a verbal assault.
Right.
A boundary is deciding how you're going to be treated, and they don't change. Boundaries aren't about getting, don't talk to me that way because I won't be treated that way. You say that. And then when they talk to you that way, you pick up your keys and you walk out the door. You hang up the phone. You walk into another room. You uphold your boundary. They don't uphold your boundary. You uphold your boundary.
That is so important. That is so important to remember, you guys, regardless of where you're at. Remember, the hardest one to train on the boundaries is not the other people. It's you. It's me, right? If I have a boundary for my time, if I have a boundary, and I totally can relate to what you're talking about. Oh, and I agree. If you feel like a victim, that is so true. It starts with us, because then we're it's like, we got to check in. Am I respecting my own boundaries? Am I also walking all over myself? Because every time I disrespect myself by standing there and letting myself just take that, I'm disrespecting myself. So it's like, okay, well, of course, you know, like, of course you're going to continue to get more of what you tolerate. I am beyond excited to share that Drop the Armor is officially available for pre-order. And today I have a free gift for my listeners. You can get instant access to the first two chapters by texting the word DROP IT to 844-974-4593. That's text the word DROP IT, one word, to 844-974-4593. If you have been fighting battles your whole life and you're ready to step into a whole new playing field, if you've been longing for a life of ultimate freedom, deeper faith, and greater purpose, you guys, this book was written for you. It is a blueprint to upgrade your battle strategies. It is a journey to get out of your head and into your heart, and really a pathway to uplevel every area of your life as you learn to lead, love, and fight different. Get your copy today by texting the word DROP IT to 844-974-4593, or you can visit thechristinejewel.com/drop it. I know one of the fears that comes through for people is like, you know, this weight of guilt, somehow feeling responsible for the other person. Mm-hmm. Through the process, right? Like, well, I don't know how he's doing, or I don't know how she's doing. And like, they feel this like almost like parenting responsibility, or, you know, responsibility to make sure the other person is okay. Talk to me about that. Like, do you see this? What do you say to these people? And you're just like, okay, they're sitting there hardly holding it together sometimes. And they're worried about, is my ex doing okay? Which I get that there's a heart of love, but there's also a lot of distortion there.
Well, it's a typical codependent dance too, right? So I am going to take care of your needs over my needs. I actually have a client out on the West Coast, and he's so concerned about his wife, who is so viciously mean and nasty. And I remember thinking the same thing. Well, I can handle it. So we're not meant to handle it. That is not God's blessing on us. We are not meant to handle it, right? And so when you start worrying about them, it's not that there's something wrong about being concerned. I often will tell clients, if you're about to tell your spouse and you know they're going to get really dysregulated and they have a best friend, by all means, reach out and give them a heads up that he or she is going to need some support. That's a loving thing to do. Mm-hmm. So it's more a matter of, are you taking care of yourself second? You have to take care of yourself first. You have to put your air mask on first. You have to make sure that you're okay first. And oftentimes when we've been in these relationships, we have that upside down. And so we're taking care. And then we're like Martha, right? We're bitter and resentful. Jesus, why is she sitting at your feet? She should be helping me in the kitchen, right? It's like, I'm doing all of this. Nobody asked me to do it. I'm doing it. And then it's like, well, wait a second. You're not reciprocating and you're not appreciating and you're not acknowledging. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a byproduct of codependent relationships. Often we're brewing in bitterness and anger and things are building up. And I think it's just a recipe for like, a toxicity in our nervous system. Not only that, like, but getting sick, like we really get sick. I come from a background of holistic health and performance. And I remember I would see people come in all the time with all these autoimmune diseases and different ailments. And so much of it was mental, emotional, spiritual roots, often from relationships that they were just swallowing their words and holding grudges. And it was like building up and building up until they were literally physically ill, you know, autoimmune diseases, all kinds of things. And I mean, this is scientifically proven. So I always like to say that, like, remember that Jesus says, love others as you love yourself. And I think sometimes people twist that. You got to love yourself and then love, not from a like, oh, me first, but you got to take care of yourself so that you can honor others from a full place. You know,
Christine, my dad was in an abusive marriage and he ended up passing away. And when he got, and he was so healthy, and when he got sick, and she had to be a sociopath. I mean, she was really off the rails. He ended up with a tumor in both of his lungs wrapped around his heart and his larynx. And to this day, I envision her way of being sucked the life,
suffocating
the air out of him. And when I heard exactly how the tumor was, I was like, oh my God, the tumor is an embodiment of the impact that she's had on his life. And my dad was an alcoholic. He was a very jolly drunk. He was an alcoholic, a severe codependent. And he chose to stay in a hellacious relationship until the day he died. And so if you're uncomfortable taking care of yourself, I'll tell you what you feel. You feel selfish. When we're so used to caring for others, the minute we become self-loving, our loved ones will tell us we're selfish and we will feel selfish because it's unfamiliar. Unfamiliar is uncomfortable. Unfamiliar and uncomfortable are good when you've been swimming in a pool of unhealthy. So just keep that in mind and move in that direction.
Yes. So good. So I want, as we start kind of wrapping this up, you know, I want to go back on a couple things that you touched on. You said often it will take years. Sometimes it takes a decade to come to this decision, right? Of am I staying? Am I going? And it is a difficult decision. What are some things like, what do you say to the person that's like, they know that they know that they know that something needs to happen, but they're just not, they're not doing it. And they're like in that place. What do you say to that person? You know, I think of a beautiful woman that I've worked with, and she was in that place, and you know, she had a history of just abuse and pain and low self-worth in her life. But, and I get it. People were in these situations, and look, I was there for 8 years in a relationship that I was like on, off. This was post-divorce. So I will raise my hand. I like, I know what not to do, right? After my 10-year divorce, I went through another 8-year cycle, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I'm staying, I'm going. And it's tumultuous to live in that place. It's tumultuous. What do you say to the man or woman who's in that place, just really grasping for what to do? Where do they start?
Yeah, so
what
do you do to move things? That's a good question. What I look for, Christine, is, you know, what is the greatest problem? So, in my humble opinion, and I'm curious if you would nail a different one. In my humble opinion, that loss of self is the first problem. And so, the first problem is, how do I reclaim my mind? How do I evict them from my mental space and begin to furnish my mind with my values. Values? What are values? I don't know my values.
Exactly.
My priorities, my beliefs, my way of seeing and engaging in the world. So that's step one. And I actually just created a free course, which I would love to share with your audience.
Yes.
And then the second thing, because once you've done that and you're like, okay, I'm starting, it's a process. But once you're like, okay, I'm starting, I at least notice when they're the other person's thoughts and I'm starting to pivot. The next thing you need is boundaries. And like a a solid boundary training where you're understanding what is a boundary and what is, and I always start with yourself. Like if you say you made me feel, that's your first broken boundary. Nobody makes you feel unless mm-hmm. they have a gun to your head. Your feelings come from your family of origin and your life experience. Mm-hmm. And so understanding boundaries, understanding full ownership of my thoughts, my feelings, my actions, and not owning somebody else's, and then learning how to protect myself with boundaries. If you do those two things, it's going to be impossible for you to stay in the toxic marriage. At that point, you will have poured enough of a solid foundation, along with working with someone like Christine or me or my team, somebody who can support you, a therapist. When you have that solid foundation, you can't wake up lying to yourself anymore. You cannot yeah. live in the delusion of what you lived in up until this point. And so reclaiming your mind, beginning to learn healthy boundaries. And the beauty is if you stay and do all of that work, and then you decide to leave, you will be miles ahead of most people. You will be really ready to step into the overwhelm of divorce with 2 feet on the ground.
Yes, come on. I so agree with that. Especially the piece that you'll be so ready, because what you see is people waiting just for somebody from the outside to come save them sometimes. And I did this in my first, when I got divorced, I went right, you know, an affair had to happen for me to step out to give me enough strength and courage. But again, it was false. And so I just carried all the same behaviors and habits into the next marriage. And so I just see that so often where there's like this catalyst, okay, somebody else, and they leap right from one relationship into another, still no boundaries, still no sense of identity. And the new person becomes their identity. And here we go on the merry-go-round again, yep. Different outfit, different name, same problems. I love that. Reclaim your sense of self, evict this person from your mind. It's going to take work. Put boundaries in place. And I love what you said. It is impossible. I really do. I agree with you 100%. It is impossible to stay in that place. Either they will exit because they won't be able to tolerate it, because a person who's toxic will hate your boundaries. Right. They will not be able to, they'll go nuts. They can't, right? And, or you'll go. So I would say it has to, because now you're not, there's just nothing holding you together. And if there's somebody who really wants to work on the marriage, they'll begin to honor your boundaries and take some ownership and ask questions. And, you know, so again, I want to circle back that this isn't about give up on people, exit. It is about a healthy relationship is, in my opinion, is three. There's me, there's you, and then there's the us, hopefully held together by the glue of God, you know? And so if you have lost yourself, then, you know, you're robbing the relationship of really what the relationship is about. And I think as we begin to do this work, and certainly so was the case in my life, that as I began to do this work, Karen, too, really in this exact order that you're talking about, you know, like there was just a whole new level of awareness around what I was deserving of, what I was worthy of, what I wanted, what I was ready. And on this other side, looking back, you're like, oh my gosh, who was that woman? Right? Like, this is such a different person. So I agree with all those things. As we wrap, you said you have this course, and I love the term evict them, evict them from your mental space, kick them out. Like, they do not get the territory of your mind. You get it, you know, like, so let's just end on that note. I know you have a free course, but A, tell us a little bit more about that. The eviction notice is here. We've already talked about it. What's the free course that people can get into? And I just want to say too, that place of that Karen was, you were just talking about of like, it's impossible for you to stay. I will say the only thing I would add to that is, it's impossible as long as you have good people around you. You need to have either a coach, mentors, solid friends, be careful of the friends, community, be careful of the community, because there's sometimes a lot of well-intended people that are speaking more drama and trauma and chaos into your life. And I know your book is Stepping Out of the Chaos. And I know that sometimes I've noticed it's those well-intended family members or besties or friends that used to know us both that are kind of giving the worst advice ever. And so I do believe it's very, very important that you get some support around you, either through coaching, mentorship, right? Community, a pastor, whatever, anywhere that you can have some solid ground, because that person will be able to reflect back to you and kind of bring you back, you know, to anchor you and ground you, to help you remember you're not crazy. You're exactly where you need to be. Stay solid in your footing, right? Stay patient in the process. Have faith. So I just wanted to make sure that we anchored that one.
Yeah, and I would even say, like, one of the things I always say is you create an all-star support team. And the red flag is if you call a friend and they're as angry at your spouse as you are, or they're, you know, if they, or they want to just focus on what he or she did and how they're bad, they don't make the cut for your support team. The person who's like, hey, girlfriend, how are you feeling? What happened? Mm-hmm. How can I support mm-hmm. you? What are you doing to take care of yourself? You, that person is your all-star team member, yeah. Not the other one. And they can love you. And I had plenty of family members who loved me, but I would not call them when I was in a jam mm-hmm. because they were bringing their luggage to the party. And right. I didn't need that. I didn't need that extra chaos, and that I didn't need that kind of a perspective. So pick and choose your support team carefully.
Yeah. Are these people adding to the chaos? Do I feel worse when I get off the phone with them? Or do I feel like more of myself? Do I feel better? Do I feel more at peace? That's a huge indicator. Okay, let's talk about the eviction course freebie that you have here.
So the course is called Reclaim Your Mind, Evict Your Spouse from Your Mental Space, because they're squatting. They're not even renting the space. They're squatting between your ears. And you're the one who left the front door open. Don't beat yourself up. But they got in there because you allowed them to. And so now what you do is you evict them. And so we take you through 7 mental distortions. And I'll just give you one, mm-hmm. which is listening to their words over their actions. But he said, I got flowers. I was told how beautiful I was, but the actions were very different. So there's 7 mental distortions. And then the last, module, and it's like a 90-minute program, is about you finding your values and your beliefs and your priorities. And that's what you want to root. That's the beautiful furniture and the new decor that you want to be dressing up your mind with, your mental space with. So you can get it at jbddivorcesupport.com is our website, / reclaim your mind. It's free. You go in. It's an expiring mini course. So it's a use it or lose it. That's to put a little encouragement to go through it. So you have 5 days. It takes 90 minutes. You have 5 days to go through it. Reclaim your mind. Evict your spouse from your mental space. And you will, people who are in there are just like, oh, I mean, they like writing. Oh my God, I have needs. I forgot I had needs. Oh wow, I've been watching his words over his actions for years. Why didn't I know that? Like, just huge ahas. So enjoy it. That's our gift to you.
I love it. I love the language. It's so clever. It's so true though. Don't let anybody squat in your brain. I mean, that's precious territory. It's like letting somebody come in and poop in your garden. Like, no, thank you. You know, it's like, I always use the analogy of the garden and the gate, and you're just letting people come in your beautiful garden, and they're trampling the most beautiful things that you have. And so I love the language around it. It sounds like an awesome course. I'm going to get it too. It's so good. I really enjoyed this conversation, Karen. I want to thank you for being here, and we will put the links, so that you can access those things and you can connect with Karen below. Karen, if there's one thing that you could just leave our audience with, one thing, if you could implant it in their neural pathways and it would be like ingrained in their new way of thinking after listening to this, what is the one thing you want them to remember, walk away with?
A social worker once said to me, this was about my mom going through dementia, but I think it works really well for these relationships. Be expecting and accepting of their worst every day. And that way, when they show up in a positive way, you're excited rather than being surprised, frustrated, and disappointed every day. Mm. Expecting and accepting and maybe not of their worst, but of their typical, of what,
yeah,
of what typically happens, of who they are.
Yeah, that's so wise. That's so good. All right, guys. Well, thank you for being here today, Karen. Thank you for being here. Always excited to bring you guys more conversations. And I want to say, like, a lot of these interviews and these conversations are coming out of the very questions that are coming through behind the scenes, right? The questions that people are struggling with. And sometimes you think you're alone, but you're not alone. If you've got this question, other people have this question. If you've got the struggles, other people have the struggles. And so I love to continue to hear from you guys. Make sure that you connect with us as well using the links below, The Christine Jewell on Instagram. I always love to know what you think about these episodes, what you want to hear more of. And if this message spoke to your heart today, or you know somebody who needs to hear this message, just hit forward right now. Pass this message on. This is how we spread the word. This is how we get these messages out. It takes an army. It takes people passing on one at a time. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you in the next episode. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute right now to subscribe and review. Your 5-star review goes so far in getting this message into the ears and hearts of the people who need to receive it. Thank you again for being part of this conversation. Have a beautiful, blessed, and prosperous day.